Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The Lord has been talking to me briefly. I'm just going to touch on a subject, and we're going to pass on this and go on to something else about prophesying. And he's saying that there's going to come an even stronger anointing on this house, and the spirit of prophecy is going to become very strong in this place and very accurate. Now, you know, Paul says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Every time there's a prophetic word that goes forth doesn't mean it's necessarily every word from the Lord, okay? Because we're still in that place in the Lord where we know in part and we prophesy in part. And every word that comes forth in this place, Paul says, prove all things, but hold fast to that which is good. Okay? Well, we're not going to get into a whole dissertation on prophesying, but the way we prove that is the other prophets or the other people that have a prophetic anointing sitting by, they have the right to say, I don't know about some of that stuff you guys are saying. And then we have to respect that because we're all submitted into one. Amen? It isn't just Oscar or just Clyde or just Jimmy or just Kathy or Sherry, whatever. We're all submitted to the head. So we have to respect the opinion of all because it's a voice of many waters. But it's only one voice coming through many fountains, okay? The reason why I say that is because in the days ahead, the Lord is saying that the waters could get rough. For many of us, it probably already is. I see people coming into my placement agency all day long. Well, the waters are very rough for them. And sometimes one prophetic word from God just makes all the difference in the world to these people because it's a word of light to them. It's a word of hope, encouragement, and life because in His light, there's life. When His light goes forth into your hearing, it brings life, literally, to your inner man, to your soul, and even to your very physical being. But the Lord is saying, Paul, before he said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, he also said, despise not prophesying. Now, you know, I thought, well, that's a strong word. Who really despises prophesying, you know? And I looked up that word. The Lord had me look it up. And what it meant, what it simply meant was this, to set aside, to have little regard for, to make utterly nothing. So the Lord, Paul is saying to Timothy as he's instructing him, he's saying, now, you know, some of the people they're despising prophesying. They can't do that. I don't want them to do that. Now, they can prove all things, and they should, but they need to hold fast to the prophetic word that's coming forth because that is the present truth that's coming forth. We have a book here. It's loaded with truth. But when Jesus is prophesying to you, he's giving you present truth. You know, these poems and all that are coming forth here, that have been coming forth from Oscar for years, I think many of us, if the truth be known, they think it's a nice poem. It's a nice poem. But when you listen to one of the poems he wrote here, Jesus is saying, come away, my love, into an intimate place where I'll show you the depths of my amazing grace. How many wants the amazing grace of God on their life? Do you know how to do that? He just told you right here. In a word, straight from the throne room of God, came right out of the Holy of Holies. He said, come away. And find an intimate place with me, and I'll show you the depths of my amazing grace. And as you are wrapped in the warmth of my unfolding love, in quietness and stillness, you will rise above. Who doesn't want to rise above in this room? Who wants to stay earthbound in this hell? We want to rise above with Jesus. I'm telling you how to do it. I'm speaking through my temple today. Emma. Who's the temple? We are the temple. And he is appearing in his temple. How is he going to slay the Antichrist? How is he going to slay the old rebellious nature that's in each and every one of us? By the word of his mouth and the brightness of his rising. Hallelujah. By the word of his mouth. Here it is. Hopefully, here it is. By the word of his mouth. And by the brightness or the radiance, another translation says, of his rising. God is rising in a people today. And I know many of you that are going on to know the Lord. You know that there's something very special that's happening in this hour in the earth. In your earth, in my earth. If you are not aware of what God is doing in this hour, then I tell you, you better come away and find an intimate place. Because when judgment hits this earth, we don't want to be judged with the world. And basically, Paul was saying that. He's saying, you know, God is reaching out. God's talking to you. He wants to put his amazing grace on you. He wants to put the blood on your doorpost. He wants you to be protected from all these things. Psalm 91, no plague shall come near your dwelling. Is that all just a story? But the only way that we can walk in the promises of God is to walk in the life of God. We have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that's wonderful. And that's a good place to be. But have you taken on his life? What do you mean by that, Brother Jim? You know, I don't think most of the body of Christ in the earth today even understands what that means. When Jesus said, I come that you might have life. Well, that means when I die, Brother Jim, I have a mansion in glory. It means a whole lot more than that, brothers and sisters. This is a now redemption that Jesus is talking to us about. Now is the day of salvation. Not, oh, well, when I die, I know it's going to be wonderful in glory. Well, it will be. But why not walk in glory now? The title of this tape, it's very unusual for me to get a title to my message before I preach the message. But this week, the Lord gave me the title before he gave me the message. And the title is, This is a Call to Glory. This is a call to glory. God is calling his people to glory. He's calling his people to glory. He's calling his people to walk in glory in this hour, to walk in his glory, to walk in his presence, that wherever we go, we're the Ark of the Covenant, and we carry the presence of God with us. And you won't even have to open your mouth. People will get around you and get goosebumps on their arms. or their back that's been killing them for 15 years is all of a sudden some warm thing's going to hit them in the back. They're going to go, that person just walked by me and my back's doing good. He is going to be mightily glorified in this hour through you. Through you. Do you want to walk in this? Or do you want to warm a church seat for one hour on Sunday? Well, Brother Junior being pretty harsh, saying stuff like that. Well, if that offends you, then you better see if you're in the faith. Because when you say that to somebody that is seeking the face of the Lord every day, they're not offended because they know they're not here to just warm a church pew. They're here to see what the Lord has to say to them. And not only are they here to see what the Lord has to say to them, but they're here to share the Lord that's inside of them with their brothers and sisters. That should be the main reason for coming to church on Sunday morning. Lord, what is it that you want to say through me to Sister Brenda? Or to the one that's sitting right over from me? How can I bless them? And you know, when you come with an attitude of giving, all of a sudden you end up receiving. God's people are going to have to get out of gimme. Now, I'm not going to go any further into that, but I think that there's going to be a word that's going to start coming forth. It might be a little abrasive. And thank God, because generally when it's abrasive, that means that there's something there that needs to be rubbed off. You know, and that sandpaper, that fire of God's Holy Spirit hits that, and it gets a little, ooh, that doesn't feel too good. Sometime back, the Lord gave me a prophetic word, and it said, my people, can you see and hear the winds of my spirit blowing? Coming from the east, the north, the west, and the south. It is coming to blow on the dry and lifeless bones of my people. For there are many in the valley of indecision. Even though they have received my son Jesus, they have not taken on my life. So the spirit of burning is coming to blow upon the coals of their heart. Thank God that the spirit of burning is coming. Amen. Amen. It isn't a time to go, oh my God, the spirit of burning. No, it's praise God. I've been praying for the spirit of burning. I don't know myself. I don't know the areas of my shortcoming, but the Holy Ghost does. And I say, Holy Spirit, deal with me. You know, I get so punky and lifted up and prideful, and God help me without your amazing grace. Without the Holy Spirit coming and blowing on the coals of my heart, you know, and it said, for there are many in the valley of indecision. I said, well, Lord, is that from you? Because I think the scriptures say, for many are in the valley of decision. And I like to kind of compare some of these prophetic words with what the scriptures are saying. And it does say that for many are in the valley of decision. And the Lord said, no, you got it right. Many are in the valley of indecision. Look at the difference between decision and indecision. Well, when you look up the definition of decision, it means the act of the process of deciding. Okay? You're faced with a choice. You're going to have to decide one way or the other. Okay? But indecision means wavering between courses of action, difficulty in making a decision because of a lack of firmness of character, or purpose. When you're in indecision, it's one thing to make a decision. It's another thing when you're undecisive. What God is saying is my people don't have a firmness in their character enough to choose the right way. Because they spend all day in the world. And when it comes time to make a decision for me, it's they don't have enough of Christ formed in them. And that was the travail that the Apostle Paul had. That's the travail of the Spirit today. He has many people that are under the blood. Okay? But he's looking for a people that he can fellowship with. that he can entrust his power to in this hour. And we're going to have to start spending some more time with the Lord. You know, I got a very unusual word that the Spirit spoke to me. I thought, no, I don't think that's the Lord. But then the Lord said, well, listen to the rest of it before you go flying off half-cocked. And the word was, put your wife on the back burner. Put your company on the back burner. Put your children on the back burner. Put everything on the back burner. And make me the Lord of your life. Because then you'll be a brighter businessman. You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better father. You'll be a better everything. Put it all on the back burner. Put me up front, and I'll make you better in every category. Every category. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and to be in a right relationship with him, and all these other things will be added unto you. Mother, new mothers, bring me up to the front. I'll make you a great mother. I'll give you great wisdom. I'll give you great patience. But if you put everything before me, you're going to lack patience. You're going to lack wisdom. When it's my will, when it's my will that you have all these things freely, I desire to give you my kingdom freely. It's my good pleasure to give you my kingdom. All my thoughts of you are precious. But until we spend time with him and get to know him, you will start feeling the heat and the warmth of his love as the spirit of prophecy blows across my church. Then you will see small flames as the heat intensifies off the coals of your heart. It will then, through the power of this spirit of burning, reach out and start consuming all the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Lord, consume the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Then as the wood and the hay and the stubble starts to burn, the flame will become brighter and hotter and higher, until the world starts seeing this light and feeling the warmth of the fire in you. And that's what the Lord wants all this to do. This is all good. It's all good. Now, I know the problem we have with somewhat of a message like, well, the fire of God's coming is because of all the false prophets. All the ones that have this distortion of God. How he's a God, he's mean, he's angry. You do something the wrong way, off with your head. That isn't God. And that's the God we've been selling to our kids, and that's the reason why there's no kids in church. Hello. I want to read this to you. Stick with me. I love this verse here, John 17, where it says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be where I am, that they may behold my glory. What is the will of God for your life? Father, I will. This is my will. This is it. That you have given me, that they be where I am. Not see where I am, not come where I am, but that they will be. Their very being. That they may behold my glory. And that word behold, it means oneness with him. And you find all that out by considering his promises. That when God speaks to us, we take it to heart and we consider, Lord, what is it that you're saying here to me? If we would take some of Oscar's poetry, some of that Holy Ghost Holy of Holies poetry and sit down and let that penetrate into our heart instead of hearing it with our ear and walking away and short, forget what manner of man we are. And we go right back into our false identity, you know, as to who I am. God's people don't even realize who they are in Christ. We've got to start praying that the body of Christ wakes up. We are in the dawning of a new day. Right now, we're in the dawn of it. And when you're in the dawning of a new day, you can't see the day real crystal clear, okay? You see the dawn. And the dawn is, there's something out there. Something's coming. I can see it. I can feel it, you know. But the day is going to grow brighter and brighter as we walk with the Lord. God is opening the heavenlies. He's opened the third heaven to us. He's opened the third, the Holy of Holies. It's time for the Feast of Tabernacles. It's time to go to his banqueting house where his banner over us is love. The banqueting house is full of new wine. It's effervescent. As soon as you walk into his banqueting house, you can smell the new wine. It was the wine that he pressed out on Calvary. I've got a little word of inspiration here from Brother Ray Prinzing, who has since gone on with the Lord. But I felt like this word was an excellent word and pretty much sums up everything that it would take me 2 hours to say. Ray could say it in 1 minute. And it says this, Ephesians 5. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, or that word means cautiously. See that you walk cautiously, not as fools. Fools say there is no God. Are we living a life where we say there is no God? There's a Savior. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you never do anything I tell you to do? Why do you call me Lord? It says, don't walk as fools, because fools say there's no God. Do whatever I want to do. No big deal. But he said, but be wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. What does it mean to redeem the time? It means to buy up the time. We need to allow the Spirit full access to our lives, that he, working in us of the Father's will and purpose, might use every day, regardless of its testing and travail, to accomplish that specific purpose pertinent to that day. There are no lost moments in God's divine economy. We read of John the Baptist. He was a burning spirit. He was a burning and shining light. And you were willing, the Bible says, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. When John first appeared out of the wilderness, a spectacular figure clothed with camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. Then he went out to Jerusalem and all through Judea and all the regions round about Jordan. And John preached a message of repentance, and the people rejoiced in the light of his message. But there were those who redeemed the time, accepted the message of that day, and allowed it to work in them. Others rejoiced in his light for a season, but they did not allow his light to penetrate into their being. So they were not ready for the next day. They were not ready for the next time. Truth is progressive. Truth is progressive. God has something to say to each and every one of us on a daily basis. Manna every day. Remember in the wilderness? Get that manna every day. Not yesterday's manna. Don't eat that stuff. God wants us living in now. Now. He's calling a body into the now realm. Now. Now. Salvation. Now is the day of salvation. When I die, then I'll get my salvation. No, now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to take on my life. Right now. Now faith is the substance. Not yesterday's faith. Not what you heard yesterday. Not even what you're going to hear tomorrow. Now faith. What is it God's speaking to you now? Because that's the faith that will heal and deliver people, and it will heal and deliver you. And you've got to experience this healing and this deliverance first before you can go and minister to somebody else. God wants us stepping up. He wants us stepping up. He said, wings are critical mass. You know what critical mass is? That's when a bomb's got so much plutonium in it, it's ready to go, man. That's critical mass. All it takes for that critical mass to blow, all it takes for that nuclear bomb to go off is a detonator. That's all. You hit that thing with a detonator, and that thing's going to go off, and there's going to be a chain reaction. It's going to go all throughout the earth. And the Lord says, you're at critical mass. There's enough plutonium in this place to go and blow all of Cincinnati into the kingdom. And God's going to start sending the detonators. I think they're probably going to come in the form of prophets or something like that, Oscar. I don't know. But they're going to detonate some of this plutonium that's inside of every one of you guys. And then Ray goes on, it's only one page, it's not 10 pages. Truth is progressive, and eventually John preached to them to turn to Christ, saying, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. John said, a new time or a new day has come. And the Holy Ghost is saying, a new day, my children, is come. You're in a new day. You're in the dawning of a new day. You have got to receive every little portion of manna that I'm going to feed you today. So you're going to be ready for the day. A new day had come, but some were not ready to buy it up. They could not pay the price for the inworkings of that day. So who did walked on into a new realm from the discipleship of John into the discipleship of Christ. Each day has its message, its purpose, its victory. We need to walk in the present truth, and we need to pray that each day will fulfill its purpose in us. And then we are ready, fully prepared, for whatever tomorrow shall bring. Sad indeed are the words. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. There was a time, but it was squandered, and they suffered loss. Now is the accepted time for new victories in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good word? That's a beautiful word. And in that day, Isaiah said, shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful? Hello, beautiful branch, and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent. That's the fullness. The excellency of God is the fullness that he desires for us to be walking in. It will be excellent and comely for them that have escaped out of Israel, out of all the religious systems of man. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, the high mountain of God, and he that remains in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is from above, shall be called holy. Even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. When you're walking in this glory, that word defense means a chamber, a closet, divine protection, a bed with a canopy over it, a place to rest. And the canopy says, and his banner over us is love. That's the canopy. And you're laying in that bed of rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the secret place of the Most High. Those are the things that God, I believe, instructed me to say this morning. He's saying, you know, I'm going to read Oscar's poem again a little bit, because that's what he's saying. Come away, my love, into an intimate place where I'll show you the depths of my amazing grace. As you are wrapped in the warmth of my unfolding love, in the quietness and stillness, you will rise above and sit with me in that heavenly place where you will begin to see me face to face. And a change will happen as I give you my life, and a change of name as you become my wife. And my glory and love will break forth from your heart, bringing all to repentance and even a new start. For surely as you spend precious time with me, I will show you my plan for eternity. God, how many times do I hear Christians say, oh, what's your will, Lord? What's your will for me? I will show you my plan as you spend time with me. For my Father expressed his wondrous love when he sent me his Son from above. For I have redeemed mankind from the wages of sin, that he might come into being instead of to an end. God redeemed us so that we could have fellowship with him. He's a father. He wants a family. I'll never forget when Benny Skinner, and I'll end it with this, Benny Skinner came and he ministered. He said, I love going to my son and my daughter's house because they have all these precious little babies. You know, they're 5, 6 months old. I get down and I go, goo, 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 and I roll the toys. He said, but after a while, okay, you know, I love them. They're beautiful, but his back starts hurting. He says, I got to have mature fellowship. I got to find somebody that I can really communicate with other than goo, goo, ga, ga. And I think that's kind of what the Father's saying. You know, come up here where you can see me face to face, where I can communicate with you my amazing grace, and you can communicate that with others. Amen. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. And the Lord would say, even unto the senior citizens that are hearing this tape, I know how the world would view you as old and useless, worn out, disregard you. And disrespect you. But I would say, all the years that I have dealt with you, and all the trials, and all the tests, you all have great wisdom. You are all in a high place in my kingdom. Many will not receive your wisdom because they lack wisdom. And they don't recognize the wisdom of God. They only recognize the wisdom of man. But be not cast down, for there is an hour I am going to use you mightily. Ask Sarah. Ask Moses. Ask Abraham. Sarah laughed. Moses said, send somebody else. Abraham went out and tried to help me by getting together with Hagar. He wasn't fully convinced until after the Hagar incident, and then he was fully convinced that I am able. And I say to you, Sarah trusted in me because she knew I was trustworthy. And I say to the seniors, continue to trust in me. For even like Samson, your end ministry, the promises that I've made you that you still hold in your heart, hold on to them. Judge me as being trustworthy. For I tell you that in the end days you will slay more Philistines in the end of your life than you slew in all of your life, says the Lord. Trust and look to me. Father, we thank you and we acknowledge you as Lord over this fellowship. Now we're going to have to acknowledge you as Lord over us individually. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Your people need strength, Father. I read that scripture where Ezekiel says, we got a problem, Lord. We've got all these people that have been born, but they don't. We've got all these women that are pregnant, but they don't have enough strength to bring forth this life, this birth. They don't have the strength to bring it forth. And the Lord says, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Don't say anything is too complicated for you. And even if you say, well, this word is strange to me, I'm not so sure I really even understand what's going on here. This man's been 40 years in Christ. You know, is it going to take me 40 years? The Lord would say, no, a day as is 1,000 years to me, daughter. And I can give you the wisdom of 1,000 years in one day. There are no excuses in the kingdom of God. Not when you have a God as all-powerful and mighty and loving as I, says the Lord. Go in the blessings of God and use those blessings that the Lord has given to you to bless others. Such as I have, give I unto thee. For your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got a song? Got a song?
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. All of you, all of you. He wants it all today. Oh, all of you, all of you. He wants it all today. He says, all of you, all of you. He wants it all today. There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all.
If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I believe you've really heard a word of the Lord today. And you know, even when Jesus rose from the dead and he walked down the road with some of the disciples and they didn't recognize him, And he began to expound the things that were written in his word about himself as they walked along after he made himself known to them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke with us? And you know, that burning is not a thing to destroy, but it's a thing to release. It releases you from the wood, the hay, and the stubble in your life. And God's going to continue to begin to release his people. Because you're a mighty people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. That you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're going to do mighty things for God. And I'm going to keep telling you that. You're going to do mighty things for God. You're great warriors in him. Because you're going to go in his strength and in his might and in his power and in his wisdom. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I ask you, Father, to let each one of us just take this word totally to heart that you spoke to us today. Help us all, and begin even with me, Father, to burn the wood, hay, and stubble up in my own life. And, Father, to just cause me to even enter that most intimate place with you farther and farther. And I love even what you had Jim say about that you spoke to him, Father, that he had to put you ahead of his wife and ahead of his business and ahead of everything else. And Father, when we put you first, then you'll become first in everything. And when you become first, creation's going to begin to be set free. In Jesus' name we pray. I ask you to bless these people out here, Father, to just pour yourself through them and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.